The fourth point, the divine name of single. In the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate. Say, He is Allah, the one and only. Quran, Surah 112, verse 1. One fine point of this verse and a manifestation of the divine name of single, which is the greatest name, comprising the names of one and unique, or one of the six lights comprising the greatest name, appeared to me in Eskişehir prison in the month of Şawal. Referring the details of that greatest manifestation to the Risale-i Nur, we shall here explain extremely briefly, in seven short indications, the true affirmation of divine unity, which the name of single demonstrates through its maximum manifestation. First indication. The 22nd word and 33rd letter have shown in detail that through a greatest manifestation, the greatest name of single has placed a seal, a stamp of divine unity on the universe as a whole and on each realm of beings in it, and on each individual being. Here, we shall point out only three stamps. The first stamp. The manifestation of divine singleness has placed a seal of unity on the face of the universe, whereby it has made it an indivisible whole. One who does not have power of disposal over the whole universe cannot be the true owner of any part of it. The seal is this. Like the finest machinery in a factory, the beings and realms of beings in the universe assist one another and work to complete each other's functions with their solidarity and cooperation. They're answering each other's requests and hastening to assist one another. They're embracing each other and being one within the other. They form a unity of existence according to which, like the members of the human body, they cannot be separated from one another. If someone controls one of its members yet does not have control over all of them, his mastery over a single member will not be true mastery. Thus, this cooperation, solidarity, mutual response, and embracing one another forms the most brilliant supreme seal of divine unity. Second stamp. Through the manifestation of the name of single on the face of the earth and face of the spring are such brilliant seal of divine oneness and stamp of unity that it proves that one who does not administer all the living creatures on the face of the globe together with all their individuals and attributes and states, and who does not know and see all of them together, cannot create them, cannot interfere in anything in respect of creation. The stamp is this. Disregarding the truly orderly, yet hidden stamps of the mineral substances, the elements, and innate creatures of the earth, consider the following stamp woven with the threads and 200,000 plant species. We see with our own eyes in the spring on the earth that all things, with their different duties, different forms, different sustenance, different members, despite their being one within the other and all mixed up together, are given everything they need without confusion and without error, with complete distinction and differentiation, with extremely sensitive balance, without difficulty, at exactly the right time, from unexpected places. This situation, this planning, this administration, forms such a seal of divine unity and stamp of oneness that one who cannot create all those creatures at once from nothing can interfere in nothing at all in respect of dominicality and creation. For if they had interfered, the equilibrium of that utterly vast administration would have been spoilt. However, man apparently serves the smooth application of those laws of dominicality through the divine command. Third stamp. This stamp of divine oneness is on man's face, indeed is man's face. One who does not hold in his gaze all the human beings who have come and will come from the time of Adam till the end of the world, and cannot place on each of their faces a distinguishing mark, indeed, hundreds of distinguishing marks, can have no part in respect of creation in the stamp of unity on the face of any single one of them. Yes, the one who places that stamp on man's face must surely hold within his view and encompass with his knowledge all the members of the human race. For, although the basic members of each person's face resemble one another, they all possess points of difference. The fact that, All the members of the face, like the eye and ear, resemble each other, are a stamp of unity, testifying that humankind's maker is one. So that the many wise differences, unlike other species, distinguishing one from the other, so that they are not confused, and to preserve the rights of all of them. In addition to showing the maker of the unity's will, choice, and volition, are all different, subtle stamps of divine oneness. They show that one who cannot create all men, animals, indeed the universe, cannot apply that stamp. Second indication. The worlds, species, and elements of the universe are so intertwined and interwoven that a cause that does not possess the universe as a whole cannot have true disposal over any of its elements. Their manifestation of unity, proceeding from the name of single, has included the whole universe within a unity so that everything proclaims it. For example, the universe's lamp, the sun, being one, indicates that the whole universe belongs to one. So too, the sponges of clouds, which water the garden of the earth, being the same, and the rain which comes to aid of all living creatures, being the same, and falling everywhere, and most of the animal plant species, spreading freely over the earth, and their species and habitats being the same, are most certain signs and testimonies, indicating that all those beings, together with the places they are found, are the property of a single being. Following this analogy, the realms of beings in the universe are so interwoven that they have made the universe into a totality, which is indivisible in respect of creation. A cause that does not have rule over the whole universe can govern nothing at all in respect of dominicality and creativity. It cannot make a single particle heed it. Third indication. Through its greatest manifestation, the name of single has made the universe into innumerable missives of the eternally besought one, whereby each contains seals of divine oneness and stamps of unity to the number of its words, as though printed, and points to its scribe to the number of those seals. Yes, all flowers, all fruits, all grasses, and all animals even, and all trees are seals of divine oneness and stamps of divine unity, which together with the places they are found, which take the form of missives, are like signatures showing the one who wrote the place. For example, a buttercup in a garden is like a seal of the garden's inscriber. Whose ever seal the flower is, all the flowers of that sort on the face of the earth indicate clearly that they are his words and that the garden too is his writing. This means that all things ascribe everything to the one who created them, pointing to a maximum affirmation of divine unity. Fourth indication. In addition to being as clear as the sun, the greatest manifestation of the name of single is so reasonable as to be necessary and can be accepted with infinite ease. Numerous proofs demonstrating that the association of partners with Allah, the opposite and opponent of that manifestation, is infinitely difficult and infinitely far from reason, indeed impossible and precluded, have been explained in various parts of the Risale-i-Nur. For the present, referring the details of the points of those proofs to those treatises, we shall here expound only 3 points. The first point. We have demonstrated with most certain proofs, briefly at the end of the 10th and 29th words, and in detail at the end of the 20th letter, that in relation to this power of the single and unique one, the creation of the greatest thing is as easy as the smallest. It administers a large tree as comfortably as a small fruit, whereas if referred to numerous causes, each fruit becomes as difficult and expensive as a tree, and a flower as difficult and as troublesome as the spring. Yes, if the equipment of an army is made on the orders of a single commander in a single factory, it is as easy as making the equipment of a single soldier. Whereas, if the equipment of all the soldiers is made in different factories and the army's administration passes from a single officer to many, then each soldier will require factories to the number of the army soldiers. In just the same way, if everything is ascribed to the single and unique one, the innumerable members of an entire species of being become as easy as a single member, while if attributed to causes, each becomes as difficult as the whole species. Yes, both unity and singleness come about through everything being connected with the one of unity, and through reliance on him. And this reliance and connection may become a boundless power and strength for the thing. Through the strength of the reliance and connection, that small thing may perform works far exceeding its individual strength and produce results, while something very powerful that does not rely on the single unique one and is not connected to him may perform small works in accordance with its individual strength, and the results diminish accordingly. For example, a strong, bold man who is not a regular soldier is compelled to carry his own ammunition and provisions himself, so he can hold out only temporarily against 10 enemy, for his individual strength is thus limited. But a soldier who through membership of the army is connected to and relies on Commander-in-Chief is not compelled to carry his own sources of strength and provisions. His connection and reliance become an inexhaustible strength for him, like a treasury. Through the strength of his connection, he may capture a field marshal of the defeated enemy army together with thousands of others. That is to say, in divine unity and divine singleness, through the strength of that connection, like an ant may defeat a pharaoh, and a fly defeat Nimrod, and a microbe a tyrant, a seed as tiny as a chickpea may bear on its shoulders a pine tree as majestic as a mountain. Yes, a commander-in-chief may send an army to the assistance of one soldier and assemble an army behind the soldier. So he has the moral support of the army behind him, and through that strength may perform great works in the commander's name. Similarly, since the pre-eternal monarch is single and one, he has no need of any sort. If to suppose that he did have need, he would send all things to the assistance of everything and assemble the army of the universe behind one thing, and everything could rely on a strength as great as the universe and in the face of everything, all things, to suppose that he did have need, could become like a single commander's strength. If there was no divine singleness, everything would lose all this strength and become as nothing. Their results, too, would dwindle to nothing. Thus the appearance of these truly wondrous works out of most insignificant, unimportant things, which we all the time observe with our eyes, self-evidently demonstrates divine singleness and divine oneness. If it was not for them, the results, fruits, and works of everything would decrease to the sustenance and strength of each thing. They would be reduced to nothing, and nothing of that infinite abundance and infinite inexpensiveness and extremely valuable things we see around us would remain. A melon or pomegranate we now buy for a small sum, we would not be able to obtain for a fortune. Yes, all the ease, all the abundance, all the inexpensiveness in the world arise from divine unity and testify to divine singleness. A second point. Beings are created in two ways. One is creation from nothing, called origination and invention, and other is giving of existence through bringing together existing elements and things, called composition and assembling. When in accordance with the manifestation of divine singleness and mystery of divine oneness, this occurs with an infinite ease, indeed such ease as to be necessary. If not ascribed to divine singleness, it would be infinitely difficult and irrational, difficult to the degree of impossibility. However, the fact that the beings in the universe come into existence with infinite ease and faculty, and no difficulty at all, and in perfect form, self-evidently shows that the manifestation of singleness and proves that everything is directly the art of the single one of glory. Yes, if things are ascribed to the single one of unity, they are created from nothing, through his infinite power, the immensity of which is perceived through its works, like striking a match. And through his all-embracing, infinite knowledge, everything is appointed a measure like an immaterial mould. The particles of all things are situated easily in the mould existent in knowledge, in accordance with the form and plan of everything in the mirror of knowledge, and they preserve their positions in good order. If it is necessary to gather together particles from round about in accordance with the comprehensive principles of power and laws of knowledge, the particles are bound together in regular fashion like the soldiers of an obedient army. Driven by power in accordance with knowledge, they come into the mould existent in knowledge in accordance with the measure of divine determining, which encompasses the thing's existence, and with ease from its being. Like the reflection in a mirror being clothed in external existence on paper by means of a camera, or the invisible writing of a letter appearing when it is spread with a special substance, with the greatest ease, power clothes with external existence the essences of things and forms of beings in the mirror of the single one of unity's pre-eternal knowledge. It brings them from the world of meaning to the apparent world and shows them to us. If beings are not ascribed to the single one of unity, it would be necessary to gather together the being of a fly from all round the earth and from the elements, quite simply, sifting the face of the earth and the elements and bringing from everywhere the particles particular to its being. And in order to situate them in proper order in its being so full of art, a physical mould, indeed moulds to the number of its elements, would be necessary. Then too the senses in its being, and its fine, subtle, immaterial faculties like spirit, they would have to be drawn in a particular measure from the immaterial worlds. Thus, the creation of a fly in this way would be as difficult as that of the universe. The difficulties would be multiplied 100 times. Indeed, it would be a compounded impossibility. For as all the people of religion and scientists are agreed, nothing apart from the single one can create from nothing and non-existence. In which case, if referred to causes and nature, everything may be given existence only through being gathered together from most things. Third point, we shall explain briefly two or three comparisons which are elucidated in other parts of the Rusalinur, showing how, if ascribed to a single one of unity, all things become as easy as a single thing, whereas, if referred to causes of nature, the existence of a single thing becomes as difficult as all things. For example, if the positions and administration of 1,000 soldiers are referred to one officer, and that of one soldier to 10 officers, to command the one soldier will be 10 times more difficult than commanding a battalion. For those who command him will form obstacles to one another, and in the resulting disorder, the soldier will have no peace. Whereas, if to obtain the desired result and situation, a battalion is referred to a single officer, he can achieve the result easily, without difficulty, and give it that situation. If to obtain the result and situation, it is required to the soldiers without tekra, it is referred to the soldiers without a leader or a sergeant, they will only be achieved with much dispute and difficulty, in great disorder and deficiency. Second comparison. For example, if a master builder is appointed to give the stones in the dome of a mosque like Hagia Sophia their suspended position, he may do so easily. But if it is referred to the stones themselves, they will all have to be both absolutely dominant and absolutely subject to each other in order to support each other in that suspended position. For the work the master builder performs easily to be carried out, work 100 times greater of 100 builders will have to be carried out. Only then may such a position be achieved. Third comparison. For example, since the globe of the earth is an official, a soldier, of the single one of unity, which heeds that single one's command, results are obtained like the change of the seasons, the alternation of night and day, the lofty, majestic motions of the heavens, and the changes in the cinema-like celestial scenes. On receiving the single command of that single one, in rapturous joy at its duty, a single soldier like the earth rises to revolve in 2 motions like an ecstatic Mevlevi dervish, and is the means to those splendid results being achieved. It is as if the single soldier is commanding magnificent manoeuvres on the face of the universe. If not ascribed to a single one whose rule of divinity and sovereignty of dominicality encompassed the whole universe, and whose command and rule cover all beings, those results, heavenly manoeuvres and earthly seasons, could only be obtained by millions of stars and globes 1,000 times larger than the earth, travelling the long distance of millions of years, every 24 hours and every year. Thus, those results being obtained through the 2 motions in its orbit and on its axis like an ecstatic Mevlevi dervish of a single official like the globe of the earth is an example of the infinite ease there is in divine unity. While they're being obtained through endlessly long ways, millions of times more difficult than the motion described above, is an example of just how difficult, indeed impossible, is the way of associating partners with Allah and unbelief, and just what impossible, absurd things are found on it. Consider the ignorance of those who worship causes and nature through the following example. You can understand how far from reason it is and how ignorant it is to suppose that, after preparing in orderly fashion through his wondrous art the parts or machinery of a wonderful factory, or marvellous clock, or splendid palace, or fine book, a person does not himself assemble the parts easily and work them, but with protracted and high expense makes each part, each mechanism, and even each sheet of paper and pen into extraordinary machines in order to make the parts themselves, construct and work the factory, palace and clock, and write the book instead of the craftsman. And he refers them the art and craft, which is the means of displaying all his arts and skills, which he has great desire to exhibit. In just the same way, those who attribute creation to causes and nature fall into compounded ignorance. For above nature and causes are extremely well-ordered works of art, and they too are artifacts like the creatures. The one who makes them thus makes their results too and displays them together. The one who makes the seed makes also the tree above it, and the one who makes the tree is the one who makes the fruits above it. Otherwise, for other different natures and causes to come into existence, further well-ordered natures and causes would be necessary, and so on, ad infinitum. One would have to accept the existence of an infinite, meaningless, impossible chain of illusionary fancies. This would be the most extraordinary ignorance. Fifth indication. We have demonstrated, with decisive proofs in many places, that the most fundamental characteristic of rulership is independence and separateness. The weak shadow of rulership in impotent men even vehemently rejects the interference of others and does not permit others to meddle in its duty. In order to preserve its independence, many kings have mercilessly put to death their innocent children and loved brothers on account of their rejection of interference. That is to say, the most basic characteristic of true rulership and its inseparable necessities and perpetual essentials are independence, separateness, and the rejection of the interference of others. It is because of this most basic characteristic that divine rulership, which is at the degree of absolute dominicality, most vehemently rejects the association of any partners and the participation and interference of others. The Quran of Miraculous Exposition, too, insistently, repeatedly, and sternly indicates divine unity and rejects with severe threats the association of partners with Allah. Thus, the divine rulership in dominicality necessitates divine unity in definite fashion and shows a most powerful motive and necessitating cause. So too, the infinitely perfect order and harmony on the face of the universe, apparent from the totality of the universe and the stars to the plants and animals and minerals down to particulars, individuals and minute particles, are an indubitably veracious witness to and clear tikra, witness to and clear proof of that singleness and unity. For if others had interfered, this most sensitive balance, order and regularity of the universe would have been spoilt and signs of disorder would have been apparent. In accordance with the meaning of the verse, if there were in the heavens and the earth other gods besides Allah, there would have been confusion in both. Quran, Surah 21, verse 22. This wondrous perfect order of the universe would have been thrown into confusion and been spoilt. Whereas, according to the verse, so turn your vision again, do you see any flaw? Quran, Surah 67, verse 3. From minute particles to the planets, from the ground to the divine throne, there is no sign of fault, defect, or confusion to be seen. Thus the order of the universe and of creatures and balance of beings demonstrate most brilliantly the greatest manifestation of the name of single and testify to divine unity. Moreover, since through the mystery of the manifestation of divine oneness, the tiniest living creature is a miniature sample of the universe and a small index of it, Only the one in the grasp of whose power is the whole universe can lay claim over it. And since in regard to creation, a seed is not inferior to a tree, and a tree is a small universe, and all living beings are like small universes and small worlds, this mystery of divine oneness has made the association of partners with Allah impossible. Through this mystery, the universe is not only an indivisible whole, but in respect to its nature, like a universal whose division and being broken up into parts is impossible, which does not accept participation and numerous hands in its creation. Thus, since each part of it is a particular and individual part, and the whole is also a universal, there is no possibility in any respect for the participation of others in it. It proves to the degree of being self-evident the greatest manifestation of the name of single, the reality of divine unity, and this mystery of divine oneness. Yes, since the realms of beings in the universe are interwoven and interbonded, and the functions of each look to all, it has made the universe, in respect of dominicality and creation, like an indivisible whole. So too, the all-encompassing general acts in the universe are interwoven and interpenetrated. That is, for example, within the act of giving life, the acts of nurturing and giving of sustenance are apparent at the same instant. And within those acts of nurturing and giving of life, at the same time the acts of ordering and decking out the living creature's body are observed. And within those acts of nurturing, giving life, ordering and decking out, at the same time the acts of giving form, raising and regulating strike the eye, and so on. Since such all-encompassing and general acts are interpreted, and one within the other, and blended together like the seven colours in light, indeed are united, and since being the same in regard to their natures, each of those acts encompasses and embraces most beings, and are a single act. And since the one who performs the acts must be the same, and since each of them pervades the whole universe and unites with the others in cooperation and assistance, it has made the universe like an indivisible whole. Similarly, since all living creatures are like seeds, indexes, and samples of the universe, it has made the universe, from the point of view of dominicality, like a universal whose division and breaking into parts is impossible. That is to say, the universe is such a totality that to be Lord and Sustainer of part of it, it is only possible by being Lord and Sustainer of the whole. And it is such a universal that each part of it has become like a single member. To make any one single member submit to his dominicality is only possible by subjugating the universal. Sixth indication. Dominical singleness and divine unity are the means and basis of all perfections. Footnote number 4. In fact, the clearest proof and most powerful evidence for the existence of the endless divine perfections and beauty is divine unity. For if the universe's maker is known to be the unique one of unity, all the perfections and beauty of the universe are known to be shadows, manifestations, signs, and distillations of the sacred perfections and beauty present in that maker of unity. Otherwise, the perfections and beauties of the universe would have pertained to creatures and causes, and the eternal treasury of divine perfections would have remained unknown for the human mind and without a key. And the source and origin of the purposes and wisdom in the universe's creation. They are also the source and sole means of attaining the wishes and desires of conscious beings and rational beings, and particularly of man. If not for divine singleness, all man's wishes and demands would be extinguished. The results of the universe's creation would also decline to nothing, and the majority of existent, certain perfections would be annihilated. For example, man has an intense, unshakable, passionate desire for immortality. Only one who through the mystery of singleness holds the whole universe in his grasp and can close down this world and open up the hereafter as easily as shutting up one house and opening another can bring about this desire. And like this desire, man's thousands of desires which stretch to eternity and are spread throughout the universe are tied to the mystery of singleness and the reality of divine unity. If not for divine singleness, they would be fruitless. And if not for the single one who through divine unity has disposal over the entire universe, those desires would not come about. And even supposing they did, they would do so very deficiently. It is because of this mighty mastery that the Quran of Miraculous Exposition repeatedly and fervently and with elevated eloquence teaches divine unity and singleness. Similarly, all the prophets, purified scholars, and saints found all their greatest pleasure and happiness in the confession of divine unity. There is no God but Allah. Seventh indication. Just as Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, taught, proved, and proclaimed in most perfect form the true affirmation of divine unity in all its degrees, so too his messengership was established as surely and certainly as divine unity. For since he taught divine unity, the greatest reality in the sphere of existence, together with all its truths, it may be said that all the arguments proving divine unity indirectly, though decisively, prove his messengership, the authenticity of his duty, and the rightness of his cause. Yes, a messengership which discovered and truly taught divine singleness and unity, which bring together those thousands of elevated truths, is most definitely necessitated and required by that singleness and unity. They certainly require it. Thus, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, carried out that duty to the letter. Now, we shall explain, by way of example, three out of numerous evidences and causes which testify to the importance and elevatedness of his collective personality, attesting that it is a sun in the universe. The first, in accordance with the rule, the cause is like the doer, the equivalent of all the good deeds performed throughout the centuries by all his community has passed to the book of good deeds of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. So too, by thinking of the certain acceptance of the salawat, prayers for the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, which every day all his community recite for him, and the station and degree that those endless prayers necessitate, it may be understood what a sun in the universe is the collective personality of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The second, think of the spiritual progress of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, whose essential being was the source, seed, life, and means of the mighty tree of the world of Islam. It arose from his performing with extraordinary capacity and faculties the sacred worship and glorifications which form the spiritual aspects of the world of Islam, perceiving all their meaning. Then you may understand how much more elevated than other sainthoods was the sainthood of Muhammadan worship, peace and blessings be upon him, by which he rose to the degree of being the beloved of Allah. At one time a single glorification unfolded to me in one of the prayers in a manner close to how the companions of the Prophet perceived them, and it appeared to me as important as a month's worship. I understood through this the companions' high worth. It meant that at the start of Islam, the effulgence and light proceeding from the sacred words had a different quality. Through their newness, they had a different flavour, subtlety and freshness, which with the passage of time have become hidden and obscured and have diminished through neglect. Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, received them with his wondrous capacity, new and fresh from the original source, the most pure and holy essence, and absorbed and assimilated them. As a consequence of this, he could receive the effulgence from a single glorification that others could receive only from a year's worship. Thus, from this point of view, you can understand to what degree Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, progressed through the degrees of perfections which are without bounds or limit. Third, since mankind is the pivot of all the purposes in the universe of the universe's creator, and since with its superior understanding, mankind has received all the addresses of that glorious one, and since Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was the most famous and renowned of mankind, and as his works and achievements testify, it is most perfect and magnificent individual, that single one of glory, took Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, as his addressee, in the name of mankind, indeed, on account of the whole universe, he made manifest in boundless effulgences and endless perfections. Thus, there are numerous points like these that prove conclusively that just as the collective personality of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is the spiritual son of the universe, so is it the supreme sign of the mighty Quran known as the universe, and the greatest name of that supreme distinguisher between truth and falsehood, and the mirror of the greatest manifestation of the name of single. And we beseech the single, unique, eternally besought one, that blessings and peace to the total number of particles of the universe, multiplied by all the seconds of all the minutes of all time, descended on Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, from the infinite treasury of his mercy. Glory be unto you. We have no knowledge save that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are all-knowing, all-wise. The fifth point, the divine name of ever-living. In the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate. Look then to the signs of Allah's mercy, how he restores life to the earth after its death. Verily, he it is who quickens the dead, for he is powerful over all things. Quran Surah 30, verse 50. A fine point concerning this mighty verse, together with another about the following mighty verse. Allah, there is no God but He, the living, the self-subsisting, eternal. No slumber can seize Him nor sleep. Quran Surah 2, verse 255. Together with a manifestation of the name of ever-living, which is the greatest name, or one of the two lights of the greatest name, or one light of its six lights, appeared to my mind in the distance in the month of Shawwal in Eskişehir prison. I did not record it, for at the time I was unable to swiftly capture that sacred bird. Now after it has drawn away, I shall at least point out briefly, by means of a number of signs, a few rays of that supreme truth and sublime light. First sign. The index-like answer to the questions, what is life? What is its true nature and purpose? Which are the greatest manifestation of the names of ever-living and giver of life is this. Life is the most important aim of the universe and its greatest result and its most brilliant light and its subtlest leaven and its distilled essence and its most perfect fruit and its most elevated perfection and its finest beauty and its most beautiful adornment, and the secret of its undividedness, and the bond of its unity, and the source of its perfections, and in regard to art and nature, a most wondrous being endowed with spirit, and a miraculous reality which makes the tiniest creature like universe, and in addition to its being the means of the universe being situated in a tiny animate creature, and it's showing a sort of index of the huge universe in the creature. It is a most extraordinary miracle of divine power that connects the animate creature to most beings and makes it a tiny universe. And it is a wondrous divine art which enlarges the tiny part to being the greatest whole and makes a particular like universal or world and shows that in regard to dominicality, the universe is an indivisible whole or universal that cannot be broken into parts and which accepts no participation. And it is the most brilliant, the most decisive, the most perfect of proofs testifying to the necessary existence of the ever-living and self-subsistent one. And among divine artifacts is the lightest and most apparent and most valuable and the most abundant and the purest, most shining, most meaningful embroidery of dominical art. And it is a graceful, refined, delicate manifestation of divine mercy, which makes other beings serve itself. And it is a most comprehensive mirror of the divine attributes. And it is a wonder of dominical creation, comprising the manifestations of the numerous, most beautiful names like merciful, provider, compassionate, munificent, and all-wise, which subjects to itself many truths like sustenance, wisdom, grace, and mercy, and is the source and origin of all the senses like sight, hearing, and touch. And life is a transformation machine in the vast workshop of the universe, which continuously cleanses everywhere purifies, allows progress, and illuminates. And living bodies, the dwellings of life, are guest houses, schools, barracks for instructing and illuminating the caravans of particles, enabling them to perform their duties. Quite simply, the ever-living, self-subsistent one makes subtle this dark, transient, lowly world, illuminates it, and gives it a sort of permanence, preparing it to go to another everlasting world. And life's two faces, that is, its inner and outer faces, are both shining and elevated, and without dirt or defect. It is an exceptional creature on which apparent causes have not been placed, veiling the disposal of power in order to show clearly that it has emerged directly without veil or means from the hand of dominical power. And the reality of life looks to the six pillars of belief, proving them in meaning and indirectly. That is to say, it is the luminous truth which looks to and proves both the necessary existence of the necessarily existent one and his eternal life, and the realm of the hereafter and everlasting life, and the existence of the angels, and the other pillars of belief. Also, just as life is the purest essence of the universe, distilled from all of it, so is it a mighty mystery, yielding thanks, worship, praise, and love, and the most important divine purposes in the universe, and most important results of the world's creation. So consider these 29 significant, valuable characteristics of life and elevated general duties. Then look and see the tremendousness of the name of ever-living behind the name of giver of life. Understand, too, how with these immense characteristics and fruits of life, the name of ever-living is a greatest name. Also, understand that since life is the greatest result of the universe and its greatest aim and most valuable fruit, life, too, must have a great aim and result as vast as the universe. For like the tree's result is its fruit, the fruit's result, too, by means of the seed, is a future tree. Yes, just as the aim and result of this life is eternal life, one of its fruits, too, is thanks to the ever-living giver of life and worship and praise of him and love for him. And just as this thanks, love, praise, and worship are the fruit of life, so are they the aim of the universe. Understand also from this, with what ugly ignorance and denial, indeed unbelief, those who say that the purpose of life is to live comfortably, enjoy oneself heedlessly, and indulge oneself in pleasure, denigrate and insult the most valuable bounty of life, gift of consciousness, and bounty of reason, and what ghastly ingratitude they display. A second sign. To explain all the degrees, attributes, and duties of life, which is a maximum manifestation of the names of ever-living and giver of life, mentioned in the index in the first sign, one would have to write treatises to the number of those attributes. So since some of them have been elucidated in various parts of the Risale-Nur, we refer you to them for some of the details, and here point out only a few. Thus, it was said in the 23rd of the 29 properties of life, that since life's two faces are transparent and unsullied, apparent causes have not been made a veil to the disposal's dominical power. Yes, the meaning of this property is as follows. For sure, in everything in the universe there is good and beauty, while evil and ugliness are minor, with the function of being units of measurement and to show the degrees of good and beauty, and to augment and multiply their realities. In this way the evil becomes good and the ugliness beauty. But so that the complaints and anger arising from what are to the superficial view of conscious beings apparent ugliness, badness, disasters and calamities, should not be directed to the ever-living and self-subsistent one, and so that the contact of sacred, pure, divine power with apparently vile and filthy things should not offend the dignity of power, apparent causes have been made a veil to those disposals of power. The causes cannot create, but have been placed in order to be the target of unjust complaints and objections and to preserve the dignity, sacredness, and unblemished nature of divine power. As is explained, introduction of the second station of the 22nd word, Azrael, peace be upon him, supplicated Almighty Allah concerning his duty of seizing the spirits of the dying. He said, "Your servants will be angry with me." It was said to him in reply, "I shall place the veil of illness and calamity between your duty and the dying. Then they shall fling their arrows of complaint and objection, not at you, but at those veils." According to the meaning of this supplication, Azrael's peace be upon him duty is a veil in the same way that the other causes are apparent veils, so that the anger and complaints of those who do not see the true beautiful face of death, beautiful for the people of belief, and do not know the manifestation of mercy on it, are not directed to the ever-living and self-subsistent one. Yes, dignity and grandeur require that causes are curtain-holders to the hand of power in the mind's view, while a divine unity and glory demand that causes draw back their hands and have no true effect. However, since both the external and the inward and the outer and inner faces of life are without dirt, defect or fault, there is nothing to invite complaints and objections, as there is no filth or ugliness contrary to the dignity of sacredness of power. These faces of life, therefore, have been surrendered directly, without fail, to the hand of the life-giving, restoring, resurrecting name of the ever-living, self-subsistent one. Light is the same, and so are existence and giving of existence. For this reason, creation and the giving of existence look directly, without veil, to the power of the All-Glorious One. Even since rain is a sort of life and mercy, the time of its precipitation has not been made subject to a regular law, so that at all times of needs, hands will be raised to the divine court to seek mercy. If, like the rising of the sun, rain had been subject to a law, that vital bounty would not have been sought and asked for at times of need. Third sign. It was said in the 29th property of life that just as the result of the universe is life, so are thanks and worship the result of life, the cause and ultimate reason for the universe's creation and its desired result. Yes, the ever-living, self-subsistent maker of the universe certainly wants thanks from living creatures in return for his making himself known and loved through so many boundless sorts of bounties, and he wants their praise and laudation in return for his precious arts and for them to respond with worship and obedience to his dominical commands. And so, in accordance with this mystery of dominicality, it is because thanks and worship are the most important purpose of all sorts of life and therefore of the whole universe that, with fervour, intensity and sweetness, the Quran of Miraculous Exposition urges thanks and worship. It states repeatedly, worship is for Allah alone, thanks is due only to Him, and praise is particular to Him. It is in order to state that thanks and praise should go directly to its true owner that verses like, it is He who gives life and death, and to Him is due the alternation of night and day. Quran Surah 23 verse 80. It is He who gives life and death, and when He decides upon an affair, He says to it, be, and it is. Quran Surah 40 verse 68. And gives life to the earth after its death. Quran Surah 30 verse 24. Point out that He holds life together with all its attributes without veil in the grasp of His power and reject intermediaries explicitly and ascribe life directly to the ever-living and self-subsistent one's hand of power, restricting it to him. The verses, for Allah is He who gives all sustenance, Lord of power, steadfast forever. Quran Surah 51 verse 58. And when I am ill, it is He who cures me. Quran Surah 26 verse 80. He is the one who sends down rain, even after men have given up all hope. Quran Surah 42 verse 28. Show that things which are the means of thanks after life, like sustenance, healing and rain, which invite gratitude and thanks, and stimulate a feeling of love and praise, also pertain directly to the healing provider, and that causes and intermediaries are a veil, that is, that sustenance, healing and rain are particular and restricted to the power of the ever-living and self-subsistent one, to express that they come directly from Him, without veil, in accordance with the rules of grammar of the restricted pronoun, for Allah is He who, Hu ar-Razak, and He is the one that, Hu aladi, has been used. The one who gives medicines, their properties, and creates their effects is the true healer alone. Fourth sign. It was explained concerning the 28th property of life that life looks to the six pillars of life and proves them. It points to their truth. Yes, since the most important result and fruit of the universe and the purpose of its creation is life, certainly that elevated reality is not restricted to this fleeting, brief, deficient, painful, worldly life. The aim and result of the tree of life, the immensity of which is understood through its 29 properties, is rather eternal life and the life of the hereafter. It is life in the realm of bliss, the very stones, trees, and earth which are alive. For conscious beings, and especially man, the tree of life, decked out with his many significant members, would otherwise remain without fruit, benefit, purpose, and reality. Then, man, whose capital faculties are 20 times greater and more numerous than that of a sparrow, and is the most exalted and important creature in the universe, and the highest living being, would fall lower than a sparrow in respect of the happiness of life and become the most unhappy, the most debased of wretches. Furthermore, through dwelling on the pains of the past and fears of the future, the intelligence, the most precious of bounties, would continuously wound the human heart. Because it mixes 9 pains with a single pleasure, it would become the most calamitous affliction. This is false to the 100th degree. That is to say, life of this world proves decisively the pillar of belief in the hereafter and in the spring, lays before our eyes more than 300,000 examples of the resurrection of the dead. Is it at all possible that the all-powerful disposer of affairs, who prepares with wisdom, grace, and mercy in your garden and country all the things and members necessary for your life, who makes them reach you at the appropriate time, who knows and hears even the tiny particular prayer for food offered by your stomach through its desire for continued existence, and gratifies the stomach, showing through innumerable delicious foods that he accepts its prayer, is it at all possible he does not see you and know you, would not prepare everything necessary for your eternal life, mankind's greatest goal, and would not accept mankind's most urgent, important, universal prayer for immortality, of which it is worthy, through constructing the hereafter and creating paradise, that he would not hear the most powerful general prayer, which rings out from the ground to the divine throne of man, the ruler and result of the earth, and hold him as important as a stomach, would not gratify him, so make him deny his perfect wisdom and endless mercy. Allah forbid 100,000 times. And is it at all possible that he should hear the most secret voice of the tiniest particular of life, heed its plaint, supply its cure, answer its want, nourish it with perfect care and solicitude, cause others to serve it attentively, and make his large creatures assist it, then not hear the thunderous voice of the largest and most valuable, immortal, most delicate life, and not take into consideration its powerful plea and prayer for immortality? That he should equip and superintend a common soldier with the greatest care and disregard a magnificent, obedient army? That he should see an atom and not see the sun? That he should hear the buzzing of a mosquito and not hear the roar of thunder? Allah forbid, 100,000 times, Allah forbid. And could the reason in any way accept that an all-powerful and all-wise one, who is infinitely merciful, loving and compassionate, who greatly loves his own art, makes himself much loved, and loves greatly those who love him, would condemn to everlasting death the life that loves himself more than anything, is lovable and loved, and by nature loves its maker, condemn to death the spirit, the essence and substance of life? Would he offend and make angry with himself for all eternity the beloved friend of his, and wounding him in terrible fashion, deny the mystery of his mercy and light of his love, and make him deny it? 100,000 times Allah forbid. The absolute beauty which adorns the universe with its manifestation, the absolute mercy which makes happy all creatures, is most certainly exempt from such infinite ugliness, far elevated above such absolute tyranny, such unkindness. Conclusion. Since there is life in this world, those who understand the secret of life and do not misuse their lives will manifest eternal life in the realm of eternity and everlasting paradise. In this we believe. Shining objects on the face of the earth, glistening with the sun's reflection, and bubbles on the surface of the sea sparkling and dying away with flashes of light, and the bubbles that follow on after them, again acting as mirrors to the imaginary miniature suns, self-evidently show that those flashes are the reflections and manifestations of a single elevated sun. They recall the sun's existence with various tongues and point to it with their fingers of light. In just the same way, through the greatest manifestation of the ever-living and self-subsistent one's name of giver of life, the living creatures on the earth and in the sea shine through divine power, and in order to make way for those who follow them, utter, O living one, and vanish behind the veil of the unseen, thus indicating and testifying to the life and necessary existence of the ever-living and self-subsistent one who possesses eternal life. Furthermore, all the evidences testifying to divine knowledge, the effect of which is apparent in the ordering of all creatures, and all the proofs demonstrating the power which has disposal over the universe, and all the evidences proving the will and volition which governs and directs the universe, and all the signs and miracles proving the missions of the prophets, the channels of divine revelation and divinical speech, and all the evidences attesting to the seven divine attributes, all these unanimously indicate, denote, and testify to the life of the ever-living and self-subsistent one. For if a thing has sight, it also has life, and if it has hearing, it is a sign of life, and if it has speech, it points to the existence of life, and if it has will and choice, it shows life. Thus, attributes such as absolute power, comprehensive will, and all-embracing knowledge, the existence of which is clear and certain due to their works and effects in the universe, testify through all their evidences to the life and necessary existence of the ever-living and self-subsistent one, the eternal life which illuminates the whole universe with a single of its shadows, and through a single of its manifestations gives life to the realm of the hereafter, even its very particles. Life looks also to the pillar of belief in the angels, and proves it indirectly. For since the most important result of the universe is life, and it is the living beings which are most widely spread, and because of their value, their copies are most duplicated, and who populate the guest house of the earth with their travelling caravans, and since the globe of the earth has been filled with so many living creatures, and for the purpose of renewing and multiplying the animate species, is continuously emptied and refilled, and since life is created on it, even rotting and corrupt matter, it has become a mass of microorganisms, and since the consciousness and intelligence, the purest distilled essence of life and spirit, its most subtle and stable substance, are created in great profusion on the earth. And quite simply, the earth has been infused with life through life, intelligence, consciousness and spirits, and inhabited in that way. Since this is so, surely the heavenly bodies, which are subtler and more luminous, larger and more important than the earth, could not be dead, inanimate, lacking life and consciousness. It would be beyond the bounds of possibility. That is to say, in accordance with the mystery of life, there will surely be living, conscious inhabitants of the skies, the suns, and the stars, suitable to the heavens, who will endow them with their living state, demonstrate the result of the creation of the heavens, and receive the divine address, and they are the angels. The essential nature of life also looks to the pillar of belief to the messengers, and proves it indirectly. Yes, since the universe was created for life, and life is the greatest manifestation of the pre-eternal, self-subsistent one, a perfect inscription of his, a most beautiful work of his art, and since the eternal life shows itself through the sending of messengers and revealing of scriptures, for if there were no books or messengers, that pre-eternal life would not be known, just as it is through his speech that it is understood that a person is alive, so too it is messengers and the scriptures that they bring that make known the words and speech of the one who speaks from beyond the world of the unseen, beneath the veil of the universe, who commands and prohibits and utters his addresses. Then certainly, as the life in the universe testifies decisively to the necessary existence of the pre-eternal ever-living one, it also looks to the pillars of belief, the sending of messengers, the revelation of scriptures, which are the rays, manifestations, and communications of that pre-eternal life. And since the messengership of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and the Quranic revelation are like the spirit and intelligence of life, it may be said that their truth is as certain as the existence of life. Yes, just as life is the distilled essence of the universe, and consciousness, and since perception are distilled from life, and are the essence of life, and intelligence too is distilled from consciousness, and sense perception, and is the essence of consciousness, and spirit is the pure, unsullied substance of life, its stable, autonomous essence, so too the physical and spiritual life of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, distilled quintessence of the life and spirit of the universe, and the messengership of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is the very purest essence distilled from the senses, consciousness, and intelligence of the universe. Indeed, the physical and spiritual life of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is through the testimony of its works, the very life of the universe, and the messengership of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is the consciousness and light of the universe's consciousness, while the Quranic revelation, according to the testimony of its living truths, is the spirit of the universe's life and the intelligence of its consciousness. Yes, yes, yes. If the light of the messengership of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was to depart from the universe would die. If the Quran was to depart, the universe would go mad. The earth would lose its head and its reason. It would even strike its now unconscious head on a planet, and doomsday would occur. Life also looks to the pillar of belief in divine determining and proves it indirectly. Because since life is the light of the manifest world, and it dominates it, and is the result and aim of existence, and since it is the most comprehensive mirror of the Creator of the universe, and the most perfect sample and index of dominical activity, and let there be no mistake in the comparison, is like a sort of program. For sure, the mystery of life necessitates that the creatures in the world of the unseen, that is, the past and the future, that is, that have been and will come, are predisposed to conform to order, regularity, being known and observed, specific individual existence, and the creative commands, which are their lives in one respect. The original seed of a tree and its root, as well as the seeds contained in its fruit and final outcome, all manifest a sort of life no less than the tree itself. Indeed, they bear within themselves laws of life more subtle than those of the tree. Similarly, the seeds and roots left by last autumn, before the present spring, as well as the seeds and roots that will be left to subsequent springs, after this spring has departed, they all bear their manifestations of life, just like this spring, and are subject to the laws of life. In just the same way, all the branches and twigs of the cosmic tree each have a past and a future. They have a chain consisting of past and future stages and circumstances. The multiple existences and stages of each species and each member of each species, Tikra, and each member of each species, existing in divine knowledge, forms a chain of being in Allah's knowledge. And like its external existence, its existence in Allah's knowledge is a manifestation of universal life that draws all the aspects of its life from these meaningful and vital tablets of divine determining. The fact that the world of spirits, which is one form of the world of the unseen, is full of the essence of life, the matter of life, and the spirits, which are the substances and essence of life, of a certainty, demands and requires that the past and future, which are another form of the world of the unseen, and its second segment, should also receive the manifestation of life. In addition, the perfect order, the meaningful circumstances and vital fruits and stages inherent in the existence of a thing within Allah's knowledge also demonstrate the manifestation of a sort of life. Such a manifestation of life, which is the light emitted by the sun of eternal life, cannot be limited to this manifest world, this present time, this external existence. On the contrary, each world receives the manifestation of that light in accordance with its capacity. and the cosmos, together with all its worlds, is alive and illuminated through it. Otherwise, as the misguided imagine, beneath the temporary and apparent life, each world would be a vast and terrible corpse, a dark ruin. One broad aspect of the pillar of belief in divine determining and decree is then understood through the mystery of life and is established by it. Just as the life and vitality of the manifest world and existent visible objects become apparent from their orderliness and consequences of their existence, so too past and future creatures, regarded as belonging to the world of the unseen, have immaterial existence and sort of life, and a spiritual presence in Allah's knowledge. The trace of this life and presence is made manifest and known by means of the tablet of divine determining and decree, and through all the stages and circumstances of their external lives and existences. Fifth sign. Also, it was said concerning the 16th property of life, that when life enters a thing, it makes it into a world. If a part, it affords it the comprehensiveness of a whole. If a particular, the extensiveness of a universal. Yes, life possesses such extensiveness. It is simply a comprehensive mirror of divine oneness, showing in itself most of the divine names manifested throughout the universe. When life enters a body, it makes it a small world, like a sort of seed of the tree of the universe, containing an index of it. In the same way that a seed can also be the work of a power capable of making the tree that bears it, the one who creates the tiniest living beings has to be the creator of all the universe. Thus, through its comprehensiveness, life demonstrates in itself a most obscure mystery of divine oneness. That is, like the mighty sun is present through its light, reflection, and seven colours in every drop of water and fragment of glass facing it, so the divine names and attributes which encompass the universe are manifested together in all living beings. From this point of view, in regard to creation and dominicality, life makes the universe into an indivisible whole, a universal whose being broken into parts and in which others can share is outside the bounds of possibility. Yes, the stamp on your face shows self-evidently that the one who creates you is the one who creates all humankind. For the nature of man's creation is the same. It cannot be split up. Also, by means of life, the parts of the universe are like the individual members of mankind and the universe, like the species. It shows the seal of divine oneness and stamp of eternal besottedness on every individual, the same as it shows them on the whole, thus in every way repulsing the associating of partners with Allah. Also, there are such extraordinary, wondrous miracles of dominical art in life that one, a power, that cannot create the whole universe, cannot create the tiniest animate creature. Yes, a pen that inscribes in a tiny seed the index of the huge pine tree and the program of its life, like writing the whole Quran in a chickpea, can surely be none other than the pen that writes the heavens together with the stars, and the one who places in the tiny head of a bee the ability and the faculties to know the flowers in the garden of the universe, be connected with most of its realms, convey a gift of divine mercy like honey, and know on the day it comes into Tikra, on the day it comes into the world, the conditions of life can surely be none other than the creator of the entire universe. In short, life is a shining seal of divine unity on the face of the universe, and in respect of life, all beings endowed with spirit, Tikra, with spirits, are stamps of divine oneness, and the embroideries and art in every living being form a seal of eternal besottedness, and living creatures set their signatures with their lives on the missive of the universe in the name of the ever-living and self-subsistent one to their number, and are seals of divine unity, stamps of divine oneness, and signets of divine eternal besottedness. Similarly, just as all living beings are seals of divine unity in this book of the universe, like life, so too a seal of divine oneness has been placed on the faces and features of each. Furthermore, just as life forms signatures and seals testifying to the unity of the ever-living and self-subsistent one, to the number of its particulars and of animate beings, the act of raising and restoring to life also puts upward signatures to divine unity to the number of beings. For example, the raising to life of the earth, which is a single individual, testifies to divine unity as brilliantly as the sun. For in raising to life of the earth in spring, 300,000 species and the species' innumerable individual members are restored to life one within the other, without fault or defect, in perfect regular order. The one who performs a single such act as that, together with innumerable other orderly acts, must surely be the creator of all beings, and the ever-living and self-subsistent one, and the single one of unity, any partnership in whose dominicality is impossible. For now, the small number of life's properties has been described briefly, and we refer the explanation and detailed discussion of its other properties to the Risale-Nur and to another time. Conclusion. The greatest name is not the same for everyone. It differs. For example, for Imam Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, it was the six names of single, ever-living, self-subsistent, sapient, all-just, and most holy. For Imam Al-Azam, it was two names, sapient and all-just. While for Ghoth Al-Azam, it was ever-living. For Imam Rabbani, the greatest name was self-subsistent, and so on. Many other people considered the greatest name to be different names. In connection with this fifth point being about the name of ever-living, as both a blessing and a witness, and an evidence, and as a sacred proof, and as a prayer for ourselves, and as good close to this treatise, we include the following uttered by Allah's noble messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, in a supreme supplication called Joshan al-Kabr, which shows the extremely elevated and comprehensive degree of his knowledge of Allah. We shall travel in the imagination to that time, and saying Amen to what the noble messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, said, shall utter the same supplication with his voice as though saying it ourselves. O he who is living before all living beings. O he who shall live after all living beings. O living one whom no living one resembles. O living one whom nothing is like. O living one who needs no other living beings. O living one who takes no living being as partner. O living one who causes all living beings to die. O living one who provides the sustenance of all living beings. O living one who restores to life the dead. O living one whom death touches not. Glory be unto you. There is no God but you. Mercy, mercy, deliver us from hellfire. Amen. Glory be unto you. We have no knowledge save that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are all-knowing, all-wise.